The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and no manipulation, no con games, not soliciting money, not trying to sell you something. We just want to give you information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If that's possible, if I'm able to do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you please. It's your life. You have to make your decisions. You only get one shot at it, not two, one shot. So I pray you get it right because, hey, remember what I said, God gave you two ends, one to sit with and one to think with, and success in your life is going to depend on which one that you use. Heads, you win. Tails, you lose. The Flatline has been on the air now for over 20 years, and sometimes I wonder if people really understand what I'm saying, Flatline. I get email messages or letters talking about the flight line or the some other name they'll call it instead of the Flatline, F-L-O-T. And I want to tell you today a little bit of review about why we call it the Flatline. But I remind you of this. The Flatline is for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're on your own, buddy. Good luck, because you've got to figure out what the world is offering and throwing at you on your own, and you have to come up with your own devices and your own answers. And I got news for you. It won't work. But if you can never make the decision to believe in Christ and trust Him as your personal Savior, like we all have to do, then you will find that God has an amazing plan for your life. What a wonderful plan it is. And it starts by you developing this flot line in your soul. Flot, F-L-O-T, stands for the forward line of troops. So I want to spend time reviewing what this term means. I'd like to quote to you R.B. Thieme Jr., my friend and my pastor at Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, who, by the way, is in heaven today. He pastored that church for over 50 years, and it's his son, Bobby Thieme, my dear friend, who pastors it today. But it was Colonel Thieme, Pastor Thieme, who coined this term and taught it to his congregation. He said it's a military acronym for the forward line of troops. And he used it metaphorically for the spiritual defense line formed in the soul of a believer from the Word of God that he learned and applied in his life. As the Word of God is believed, understood, and applied, then those 10 problem-solving devices are deployed on the flat line of your soul, and they will effectively protect your soul against outside pressure and even false doctrines. So these 10 spiritual tools that we talk about on the flat line strengthen your soul and equip the Christian with biblical answers to life circumstances for the purpose of accomplishing God's plan and eventually absolutely glorifying Him to the maximum. So the first and the most critical problem-solving device we need to understand and apply is what Pastor Thieme called, he came up with a term called rebound. And we're not talking about basketball either. Rebound. He used this term to explain the recovery process for the Christian who committed sin. Now remember, and don't forget this, sin occurs in several areas of our lives. There are sins of the tongue, and that's a term we use for sins such as lying, gossip, slander, maligning, criticizing. Sins of the tongue, that's one area where we can sin. Colossians 3:9 reminds us, do not lie to one another, there's a sin, since you put off the old man with his deeds. And Ephesians 4:29 talks about the sin again of the sin of the tongue, where it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to those that hear it. So you can sin by what you say, but even more so, you can sin by what you think. And those sort of sins include worry, abnormal fear, anxiety, hatred. That's just naming a few of them. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. That's telling you don't get full of anxiety. That's a sin. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's a wonderful way to have a relaxed mental attitude when you have a flatline in your soul. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be afraid. In 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, there is no fear being afraid. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, and because fear involves torment. But he who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. In other words, once you come to understand the unfailing love of God, you learn never to be afraid because he's in charge. He's got the situation well in hand. There's nothing for you to fear ever. And then there's obviously not only sins of the tongue, not only mental attitude sins, but overt sins. Sins like stealing, murder, drunkenness, adultery, things like this. In Proverbs 6:16-19, the Bible even lists seven things that God supposedly hates. It says, these six things the Lord hates, wait a minute, seven are an abomination to him. And here's a list of them. Listen, a proud look, that's a mental attitude sin. A lying tongue, that's a sin of the tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, that's murder, that's an overt sin. A heart that devises wicked plans, mental attitude sin. Feet that are swift and running to evil, that's a sin of the tongue, stirring up trouble. And a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So, since we can sin by what we say, we can sin by what we think, and we can sin by what we do, it's understandable that we inevitably will, more than likely, sin. If you think you haven't sinned lately, you're not really living a reality in your life. Because the Christian is going to sin. We all possess a sin nature. That fact does not excuse it and doesn't give us a justifiable reason to sin. But it's a truth that we have to recognize because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Some people sin frequently. Some people sin seldomly. But regardless, when sin occurs, it quenches the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thus, it breaks fellowship with God, and thus it puts us back under control of our sinful nature, or the flesh, with the result that we become carnal. Paul wrote about that in Romans 8:6-8, where he said to be carnally minded is death. That's not physical death, but spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, Romans 6:7. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, it is not subject to the laws of God, nor indeed could it ever be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, the principle is this, that rebound is problem-solving device number one, and it solves the problem of sins committed. The mechanics to rebound are very simple. It's found in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It says, if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing. David talked about it in Psalm 32 and said, as long as I kept my mouth shut, I was in sin, I suffered a lot. But when I finally went to God and admitted my sin, he forgave me. Anytime you are aware that you have sinned, that's the time to use the first flatline problem-solving device called rebound. If you sin with your mouth, if you sin with your mind, if you sin by something you do, go to God and admit the sin. Don't try to hide it. If is a third-class condition. If we confess our sin, confess is a compound verb pronounced homologeo in the Greek New Testament. It means homo, the same, legeo, to say. So if we say the same, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You cannot live the Christian life effectively if you don't learn how to rebound. You cannot be an effective witness for the Jesus Christ in the flesh. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. We're about to look at that next. So rebound is the first problem-solving device on the flatline of your soul. If you've listened to this radio show very long, you know that. You understand that. The second problem-solving device I want to remind you about is called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number two. And by the way, we have a bookmark with all of these on it. And we have a book called Christian Problem Solving that will help you understand it. If you'd like to order it, it is free, no charge ever for any of our material. But the filling of the Holy Spirit or the control of your sin nature or your flesh are mutually exclusive. In other words, they can't both occur at the same time. At any one moment in time, you are either going to be filled with the Holy Spirit or you're going to be out of fellowship and under control of your sin nature. They're not mutually the same thing. They're exclusive. Now, why, you may ask, is the filling of the Holy Spirit so critical? You know, what's sad is most people don't even realize this. Most people don't even understand it. They don't even understand the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And just because you're a Christian, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But you might not be filled with the Holy Spirit because sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved, your fellowship with God is broken. So it's critical that you understand what the Holy Spirit does. You cannot function as a Christian in the spiritual life unless you are filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Anything else is ritual without reality, and that's totally meaningless. In Galatians 5:17, the Bible outlines the battle we're talking about. The flesh fights against the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another so that you do not do the things that you would like to do. In Ephesians 5:18, the mandate, the charge by the Apostle Paul, do not be drunk with wine in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life effectively unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that will all show up at the judgment seat of Christ under what's called wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should know immediately, am I filled with the Spirit? How would you know? Well, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? If there's any sin in your life you haven't dealt with, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I hear you, say, well, I can't remember every sin I do. Well, heck no, nobody can. Especially those of you that commit about a million every day. But it says, if we'll confess the known sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. So remember that. What exactly does the Holy Spirit do for you? Why is that so critical that we are filled with the Holy Spirit? What's the point about that? Well, John 14:26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the principle is this. It's the Holy Spirit's ministry to reveal the will of God to you. Likewise, the Holy Spirit will make your prayers effective when you pray. In Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. So your prayer life will not ever be effective if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because you pray doesn't mean you're a great Christian. It's possible you can do the right thing in the wrong way. And prayer is the right thing, but you can do it in the wrong way. What's the wrong way? Well, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're quenching the Holy Spirit, and your prayers are not going to be answered. So, keep this in mind. Here is the personality profile of a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number two. Here's your personality profile. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I repeat to you, this is why problem-solving device number two is so critical. You cannot function as a believer in the spiritual life unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you this morning, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not an emotional thing. It's not something you're going to feel. It's not going to make you foam at the mouth and beat a tambourine and sing, do, Lord. It means, have you any unconfessed sin in your life? Because if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you have quenched the Spirit and grieved the Spirit, and you are not effectively living the Christian life. Problem-solving device number 3 on the flatline of your soul, as we review this concept, is called Faith Rest Drill. Faith Rest Drill. Learning and using the Faith Rest Drill will give you the ability to overcome fear in your life and the ability to live and face anxiety and not let it control you. But I remind you of a principle. The Faith Rest Drill will not work if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Faith Rest Drill will not work if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You got it? You heard me? So the Faith Rest Drill is a 3-step technique for recovering mental stability in a time of crisis. Mental stability in a time of crisis. By learning this procedure and using the Faith Rest Drill, then it gives you the ability to apply Scripture to troubling situations in your life. It's a wonderful thing. If you call me right down, remember in Matthew 8 where the disciples were on the boat with Jesus and they thought they were going to die? He called them short-time trusters. They didn't use a faith rest drill. You may not be using it in your life right now. You may be panicking. You may be full of anxiety. You may be full of fear. Last night where I live, we had a lot of tornadoes come through our area. Terrible weather. And I went to bed and slept through it all. I know if the Lord wanted to take me, He'll take me. Now, I didn't mean I'm reckless, but it means I wasn't afraid. So using the faith rest drill gives you the ability to replace fear with faith. But to do that, first you have to rebound the sin of fear. If you have fear, you have to rebound fear, have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you can use a faith rest drill. In Psalm 56, verse 3, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." That's a great verse that you can use. And if you fill with the Holy Spirit, you can claim it and use it and believe it and stand on it. That means that you can think the Word of God instead of letting your emotions take over and put you into a fear, panic situation. The relaxed mental attitude of the Christian life is produced by claiming these promises of God in the Bible and then mixing those promises with your faith or your trust. As far as I know, there are several thousand promises in the Scripture. By the way, we have a book called Promises of God and Principles. It's a great little book. Doesn't have all of them, but it has a lot of promises and a lot of principles and not any narratives, not trying to teach you anything. It's just letting you read the promises. If you want that, get in touch with us. We'll send it to you. Those promises are like money in the bank for you. And you can cash them in and spend them, but you got to know where to find them, first of all. Listen to Isaiah 41:10. This is in the bank for you if you want to use it. "Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous hand." That's a great faith rest drill promise for you to claim when you are afraid, when you're in some situations where you fear. So the faith rest drill is enforced by you doing something. First of all, you get into a situation where something happens and you have to claim a promise. Just one promise. It's all you need. And then you have to go get a biblical rationale. That's an underlying reason why you can trust God. For example, let me give you a biblical rationale. It's called the essence of God. Is God sovereign? Yes. Is He omnipotent? Yes. Is He omniscient? Yes. Is He omnipresent? Yes. So if omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God knows what's going on in your life, could He stop it? Yes. Can He watch over you? Yes. So when you claim these promises, you come to this conclusion. He's aware of what I'm going through. His omnipotence, His power, guarantees He can rescue me from any situation. Doesn't make any difference. Remember I told you about Matthew 8, about the disciples on the boat? And how the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and calmed the sea, and they thought they were going to die. They didn't use a faith rest drill. They had to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to get them out of that situation. But He rebuked them and called them short-time trusters. Listen, read Matthew 8:23 and following, and learn how the Lord Jesus Christ calmed the stormy sea of Galilee, even though the disciples were full of fear. If you claim the promises of God, and you rest in those promises, this will allow you to restore your confidence in God's plan and God's provision. That's why it's essential for you to understand this. That's why it's essential for you to understand what it is. So what is problem-solving device number one? Rebound, how to confess your sin. What problem does that solve? It solves the problem of my sin, my failure. What's problem-solving device number two? The filling of the Holy Spirit. What problem does that solve? It solves the problem of my flesh wanting to control my life, my sin nature trying to take over. And problem-solving device number three, the faith rest drill. What problem does that solve? The problem of fear, the problem of anxiety, the problem of panic. These are all there for you. So you have to understand that. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order for fellowship with God to be maintained. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is not the same as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I told you that. Those three problem-solving devices I gave you this morning are essential. You cannot live your Christian life without using these divine provisions. And you should know when you're using them. You should know when you're rebounding. You should know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You should know when you're claiming the faith rest drill. All right? The filling of the Holy Spirit depends on you not allowing your sin nature to take over. That's why it's the first problem-solving device. You can't live the Christian life with your sin nature running the show. Listen to Ephesians 1:13 through 14. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, that's getting saved, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that's the indwelling, who is now the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's you. So the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the promise of God that He will claim you and take you to heaven. That's not the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's your position, not your experience. In your experience, you can quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, and function outside of the norms of the Christian life. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is where you get the operational power to function in your spiritual life. Listen to Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. As a recognition that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. So the filling of the Holy Spirit was around then, and it's around today. The faith rest drill is what keeps us from panicking when adversity hits our life. In Romans 5:3, and not only that, but also we glory in our tribulations, knowing this, that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces patience or hope or confidence. So the thing that you don't want is the very thing that helps you grow up. I'm going to read that to you again, Romans 5:3. We glory in our tribulations. We're not afraid of it. Because why? It produces patience, perseverance. It produces character, integrity. And it produces confidence or hope or elpis. We're talking about God. We use the word hope. We're not talking about like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. That's not the kind of hope this is. This hope is absolute confidence in the plan of God for your life. When you have that absolute confidence, it's called elpis in the Greek New Testament. And that's a wonderful way to live because then you have the hope. And God is worked out in your life by trusting Him or your faith in Him and your faith in what He asks you to do. So did you get that this morning now? What's the name of the radio show? The Flot Line, F-L-O-T. And why do we call it that? Because it's a main line of resistance in your soul that will stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. There are 10 problem-solving devices. I went over 3 of them with you this morning. That's all I've been through. Problem-solving device number 1, rebound. Problem-solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. In our next radio show, we will go over number 4, grace orientation, and number 5, doctrinal orientation. It's essential that you know these, and again, we have a bookmark. You can order it and put it in your Bible and look at them anytime you want to look at it. Just a bookmark. Or you can order the book on Christian problem solving. And it will outline all of them for you again. so you can study them and look at them. Because I want you to be able to write them down and remember them in your soul. So if you bumped into me in the street and I said, tell me those 10 problem-solving devices, I'd like for you to be able to name every one of them. I'd like for you to know when you're using grace orientation. I'd like for you to know when you're standing on the faith rest drill. I'd like for you to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or under control of your flesh. And I'd like for you to know how to recover from your failure, your sin, by rebounding and moving on. So I hope you're learning something. I love giving you these radio shows. It's always a chore for me to decide what to teach on, and we normally teach a different subject every Sunday. But I decided to go back and review this for those of you that might not remember exactly what the FLOT line stands for. Forward Line of Troops. Invisible in your soul, creating a main line of resistance to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. It's a wonderful thing God provided for you. It's wonderful the way my pastor put it together and taught it to me, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing his notes with you. So please come back next week, same time, same station. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The FLOT Line.
Thank you for listening to The FLOT Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The FLOT Line with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The FLOT Line. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It doesn't take long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education with no manipulation. Something I say that to you every Sunday morning, I know I do. But I'd just like to remind you, and there are always those people that are listening for the very first time. You'd be surprised how many people contact me and say, I just happened to hear your show on the car radio, on my way to church or at home. And the Lord does wonderful things that way. And I'm always really happy about people that hear it and let us know that they're learning something. My job is not to be your pastor. My job is to give you some basic understanding of the Christian life and guide you towards a good pastor where you can get into a situation where you can learn God's Word on a daily basis. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm doing these shows. And by the way, this is what we'll do today is 1,024 Sundays on the air across the United States. 1,024 Sundays. That is a testimony to the grace of God, not my strength, not my ability, simply the grace of God and those wonderful problem-solving devices that He lets me use in my life every day. Last week, I reviewed the first three problem-solving devices for you, thinking that this would help you grasp the concept of having your own personal FLOT line in the mentality of your soul. This show is called a FLOT line. A lot of people miss the word. They think sometimes flat or sometimes flight. You'd be surprised how many people call it the flight line or the flat line. It's FLOT, F-L-O-T, and that stands for Forward Line of Troops. And what we do there, we have 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach out of the Bible This is not something anybody made up. These are all biblical illustrations. And to tell you the truth, it essentially puts the Christian life in a nutshell. This is it. If you understand these and you use these, you are living the Christian life. So as we pick up new listeners, like we are today or last week, I'm always concerned they might not know exactly what the flot line actually refers to. So I've decided to do a series of shows reviewing each flot line problem-solving device. Hopefully it'll help you write notes, take it down, order the book, Christian Problem Solving, order the bookmark to put in your Bible, the problem-solving devices, and it'll help you remember these. So your individual flot line is your invisible protective barrier in your soul, and it's built on 10 major biblical concepts. If you don't understand these concepts, if you don't understand these doctrines, if you don't believe them and use them, then you will at best be doing many things the right way, but doing them in the wrong way. And I think that's the most discouraging thing about Christians. Many Christians do the right things, but they do it in the wrong way. And you have to remember what someone told me, my pastor told me this years ago, a right thing done the wrong way is still wrong. So you have to do a right thing in a right way. And going to church is the right thing, but you can be there in the wrong way. If you're in church with known sin in your life, then the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved, and even though you're there, the Holy Spirit cannot help you pick up divine viewpoint and help you to apply it into your life, because you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. So if someone's in church and Brother Smith hates Brother John over there on the other side of the aisle, but he's in the right place, but he's doing it the wrong way. And prayer is another thing. Same thing. Right thing, wrong way. It's so much you can do the wrong way, and you think you're honoring God, but you're not. So that's why you have to understand these doctrines, so you don't wind up doing all the right things in the wrong way and then get to the judgment seat of Christ and get embarrassed because it goes up. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. I want to remind you this concept of having a flat line was first taught by R.B. Thiem Jr. during his 50-year tenure as pastor of Baraka Church located in Houston, Texas. You can always contact them, Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, and ask for his studies on that, and they'll get them for you. But last Sunday, we looked at rebound, we looked at the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we looked at the faith rest drill. That was problem-solving devices number one, problem-solving device number two, problem-solving device number three. And we have transcripts on that. If you'd like to get the transcript, let us know. So today, I would like to talk to you about problem-solving device number four, grace orientation within your soul's mentality. This particular problem-solving device is all about the grace policy of God. So if you put it this way, simply put, grace is God doing all the work based on His unfailing love for mankind. When you understand God's grace, then you can begin to utilize all He provided for you. Those grace provisions are simply this. Number one, saving grace. Number two, living grace. Number three, dying grace. And number four, surpassing grace. So what are these, and what is saving grace? What's that? Well, it's a reference to what God provided for each of us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We did not have to earn God's forgiveness since the work of Christ provides it for us. So don't make the mistake of mixing grace with works, thinking that you're going to go to heaven because you believed in Christ and you don't smoke, or you believed in Christ and you don't curse, or you believed in Christ and you're a good person. That's works. Those are things Christians should do sometimes, but that's not how you get to heaven. So let's remember that, okay? All right, so let me see. I want to go back to this for a minute. Saving grace is a reference for what God has done for each one of us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We did not have to earn God's forgiveness since the work of Christ provided it for us. And don't make the mistakes of mixing grace and works thinking it's what saves you. Faith added to grace provides eternal life and nothing else. So listen to the verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's saving grace. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You're given it by faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, no way you can work for it, lest you'd boast about it. Titus 2:11 says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So saving grace is available to every member of the human race because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross for us. If you understand this doctrine, then you will understand what God says, and you will never have to doubt your eternal security, your eternal destiny, because you understand you're going to heaven because of what Christ did for you, not what you're doing for yourself. That's saving grace. You're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by something you do. And then there's living grace, and that's a reference to what God supplies for you on a daily basis. Listen to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5:12, where he says, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is true, the grace of God, so stand fast in it. So what's he saying? He communicated to them, testified to them, challenged them to live in the grace of God, to stand fast in the grace of God. Living grace, that refers to grace that is given after salvation. And it's described in this manner. It includes His total divine provision of God for the fulfillment of His plan, for the fulfillment of His will and purpose for our lives. He provides everything we need in our daily life for us to fulfill His plan and purpose. This type of grace is like logistics. It's logistical grace provision. His grace provides everything we need to live, everything we need to function in the devil's world, particularly the daily needs that we have to exist as well as our daily spiritual needs. You know, like food, shelter, clothing, a Bible, a pastor, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. These are all grace provisions provided for us freely by the unfailing love of God. So if you're alive today and you have food today, that's living grace. If you're alive today and you have shelter, that's living grace. If you're alive today and have clothes, that's living grace. You have a Bible, that's living grace. There's a pastor, that's living grace. So if you're confident of God's daily grace provisions, then you never need to worry about what it'll take to sustain your life on a daily basis. In Matthew 6:25-34, a rather long passage, but here's what it says. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you put on your body. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than a little bird? Which of you, by worrying, could add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith, that's a false shortcoming of the faith rest drill there, that's what the problem is. So therefore, don't worry, and don't say, oh, what am I going to eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So there we have living grace, living grace. You don't have anything to worry about. He just promised you in that passage, don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of you. He'll give you food. He'll give you clothing. He'll give you shelter. That's living grace. So orient to that when you talk about grace orientation. You're saved by grace and you live by grace. And then there's dying grace. We're all going to die. You know that sooner or later. There's no way out unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns to get us before we die. But death is a matter of the sovereignty of God. and it's based on His omniscience of all the facts in our life. Now listen, because of God's perfect sovereignty, He's able to pick the right time and the right place and the right conditions of our death. God predetermined this in eternity past. That's called dying grace, and that's defined as the death of a mature believer. That sort of dying grace is the experience of physical death under special provisions of grace, where we, as believers involved in that, experience both blessing and happiness while dying. Some people don't understand that, for sure, because they're afraid to die. But for the believer, especially for the mature believer, it's a promotion. It's going to heaven, going to be face-to-face with His Lord. I call it getting called to the home office. And it's a wonderful thing because when it comes, you have happiness and you have blessing. And anybody that has any doctrine, anybody that has the Word of God understands this. It's a blessing when you are promoted to be face-to-face with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of people that have been promoted. Maybe you're getting close. I'm getting close. But it's going to come a time when we're going to be promoted. And if we understand dying grace, we understand it's a matter of the sovereignty of God. We don't have to be afraid of it. We just have to face it with all the facts that He's provided everything we need to be happy. It can occur regardless of the amount of pain, regardless of the amount of suffering while we go through death. Dying grace can still occur. I mean, there could be maximum pain or maximum any sort of pain. But in either case, there's happiness and stimulation of the soul with confidence and hope in God's glory. In Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, you know, the devil uses death to scare people. Insomuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, and it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ now, He Himself shared in the same, that because of His death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's a wonderful thing when you understand dying grace and you don't have to be afraid of death. You can actually testify to people about the grace policy of God if they see you dying as a mature believer. So understanding this sort of doctrine and believing this doctrine removes the fear of death. And it's for this reason that the mature believer has an understanding of God's grace provisions. That's why for these reasons we have the mandate. Listen, here it is, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't say please behave and learn, it says grow. And that's a mandate in the Greek New Testament, that's a commandment, that's not a request. Grow in grace and knowledge. Living grace, saving grace, dying grace. You should have that. You should understand that. Okay, so what are they again? Let me ask you again. What's the first one? Saving grace. What's the second one? Living grace. What's the third one? Dying grace. Write it down so you can remember it. And this leads us to problem-solving device number 5. That's called what? Doctrinal orientation. Biblical orientation. Remember this, that every problem in life has a solution stated in the Word of God. Every problem. Every problem we have has a solution. This is the believer's attitude when confronted with the question, what does the Bible say? What should I do? What am I supposed to do about this? Well, here's where we get into trouble, because sometimes you ignore God's advice because of your own arrogance. This sort of negative volition causes you to sin by ignoring divine directives and often results in a life of regret and bitterness for you. That's why you must learn to be obedient to what the Word of God says. You have to obey. When that verse in 2 Peter 3:18 said, grow into grace and knowledge, if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't know what you're supposed to do in any certain situation. And if you ignore God's advice in the Scripture because of your own arrogance, and you say, well, I got a better deal. I know what's better. You know, the Lord said, don't do this, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do it. I can handle it. Then you wind up destroying your life because of your negative volition. The Word of God penetrates into the human soul and the human spirit. How does it do that? Through the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you have the equal ability to understand Bible doctrine. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how the Word of God can get into your soul. Listen, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing, to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when you understand and learn and apply and use the Word of God, then you have a fantastic opportunity to have a wonderful life. But when you reject the Word of God, when you don't spend time studying the Word of God or learning the Word of God or paying attention to the Word of God, then you're going to mess your life up. And I guarantee you, you're going to make a stupid decision. It doesn't mean you can't recover from it. You can always rebound and confess your sin and get back in fellowship. But why do you want to go down a dead-end street? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go down a dead-end street and spend 2 or 3 years in the wrong marriage, or spend 2 or 3 years in the wrong business, spend 2 or 3 years doing something you shouldn't have done, only then to figure out that was a dumb thing because you didn't listen to God to start with? What does the Bible say about the Word of God? Prophet Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 15:15. He said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. I devoured them. I consumed them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." What a wonderful thing. Is the Word of God your joy? Do you feed on the Word of God on a daily basis? If you don't feed on the Word of God on a daily basis, you're going to starve to death. That's why I'm always harping on you about you think you're getting enough by going to church once a week. I've used this illustration hundreds of times, but if you put a kid in the first grade and they go for an hour a week, they're never going to get out of the first grade. If that's all you get out of church an hour a week, you're still a baby Christian. You've got to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor that will teach you the Bible on a daily basis. When you get to where you can take it in every day and apply it every day in your life, then you're going to lag, L-A-G, lag. Learn, apply, and glorify. That's what God wants you to do. And so the Word of God has to be the number one priority in your life on a daily basis. So number one, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, take in the Word of God every day. Because I can absolutely guarantee you that you will have a life of regret if you ignore God's Word. It's your source of confidence. It's your source of assurance. Plus, it's the key to happiness throughout your entire life. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be capable, equipped for every good thing." Did you hear that? All Scripture, that's the Bible, is God-breathed. It didn't come by some man. Some guy didn't sit there and decide to write it. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's profitable. You want to make an investment? Invest in the Word of God, and it will bring profit to you. It is profitable for teaching and for reproof, correction. It'll guide you. It'll tell you when to slow down. It'll tell you when to speed up. It'll tell you there's a dead end ahead. It's called biblical wisdom, which is a combination of insight and understanding and discernment. When you have insight, understanding, and discernment, you have biblical wisdom. And when you have biblical wisdom, then you have reproof and correction from the Word of God. And it equips you so that you can live your life as God would have you live your life. But without the Word of God, without learning and applying the Word of God in your life, at best you're just gambling with it. Why in the world would you sabotage your future happiness just because you're not willing to make time on a daily basis to learn God's Word? And some people say, "Well, I got a little daily devotion. I bought this little book for $19.95, and I bought it in a truck stop somewhere, or a Christian bookstore, and I read a little 2-minute devotion, a 3-minute devotion out of it every day." That's not studying the Word of God. That's like an appetizer. I'm talking about sitting down with a Bible and with a notebook and listening to someone teach you the Bible. You say, "Well, I don't have anybody in my area that can do that." I know that. I mean, I talk to people every day that are dying for a great pastor. But I can tell you where to get it. It'll take a little effort, but you can get it through the Internet. You can get it through print. You can get it through a lot of different ways, through tapes, through disc. The teaching of the Word of God is available to you if you want it. If you don't want it, then I can't help you. But I'm telling you that it is important for you that you take in the Word of God on a daily basis. Because if not, you're going to sabotage your future happiness just because you're not willing to take the time to learn it. Living your life unto the Lord demands what? Consistent cognition and consistent inculcation of the Word under the objectivity of the filling of the Holy Spirit, not the lust pattern of your sin nature, but the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, if you got a great pastor and you can sit there filled with the Holy Spirit, you can listen to him teach you the Bible, teach you the Word of God, and apply it into your life, then you're going to be a hearer of the Word, not just a doer. Not just a peeker, but a seeker, I call it. I'm not just talking about one service on Sunday morning, but rather studying daily under a well-qualified pastor. I'm often amazed at some churches that have, well, we're going to have a January Bible study. Well, and they go through the whole book of Romans in a week. You got to be kidding me. My pastor taught the book of Ephesians that took about 8 years. My pastor taught a Life of Christ study, and that took several years. You can't go through it like that. You're going to dig in and learn it on a daily basis. It's going to be line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. If you want that, you get in touch with me. I'll tell you how to get it. I'll tell you how to get a Bible and a notebook and sit down at a table with a cup of coffee or a soda and listen and learn and apply it into your life. I've met many people that this has changed their life. I had a friend of mine that I met who came to work in our house, do some work, and I told him, if you will do this, a year from now, you won't recognize yourself. And he's told me many times I was right. He started studying, started learning, started growing instead of operating on his emotions. And today, he's a totally different person. So, unfortunately, many Christians are just too busy to give much attention to God's directives. Too busy having a good time. Too busy taking the kids to the ball game. Too busy doing this. Too busy taking a vacation. Too busy doing this. Too busy doing that. They just don't have time to get doctrinal orientation. And it's a lack of problem-solving advice in their soul. And they're going to be a flawed believer. What I mean by that, they're going to be a handicapped believer. What's a handicapped believer? You're handicapped by your own negative volition. And you're doomed to a life of mistakes and a life of regrets because you're handicapped, you are blinded to your own failure, and possibly becoming neurotic and full of hypersensitivity and insensitivity to the needs of others. So, these two devices that I'm talking about this morning, problem-solving device number 4, problem-solving device number 5, grace orientation, saving grace, living grace, dying grace, and doctrinal orientation, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, learning the Word of God, living the Word of God, on a consistent basis is what will make a difference in your life. I want you to get to heaven, and I want you to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I hope you'll apply this information. And I hope you'll come back same time next week, same place, same station. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.